Welcome to the weekly podcast all about turning the Great American RV Adventure into stress-less camping. Each week, we explore tips, tricks, ideas, and destinations, and talk to the happiest campers in the RV world. Pull up a seat at the campfire as we enjoy some stress-less camping.
Welcome to the Real Life Campfire.
I'm Tony.
I'm Peggy.
And we're two RV industry veterans who travel part-time
in a small trailer,
looking to share big adventures and help you with great tips,
tricks,
and discounts.
We're camping.
We are. We are in Texas.
We're camping in Texas.
In fact, we're in Texas right on a gigantic lake by apparently where there are lions.
Yeah, there's a lion sanctuary nearby. So they told us that we'll hear the lions roaring for their meals in the morning and evening. But so far, we've either been outside of camp or it's been so windy we can't hear anything but the wind.
Yeah, it's been crazy windy.
But today is very calm, so I'm looking forward to hearing it.
No lion.
No lion.
That's the main topic of conversation.
Last weekend, we were very honored to get to teach a camper college to the girl campers of North Texas.
Yeah, there were 20 campers in the class, the neatest people. And we just felt honored to be able to share stuff to help them be a stressless girl camper.
That's right. So like, we got a lot of feedback. But basically what I want to see when I get that, well, I want their notes. I want to know how to get better. But mostly we ask what their confidence level was before and after class. And everybody went up two notches, maybe one, a couple of people. But most people, their confidence level shot way up, and that is our goal.
Yeah, and in addition to the awesome Girl Camper website and other resources Girl Camper provides, and by the way, we'll put a link. We've interviewed Janine and Lisa from Girl Camper several times in the past, so we'll put links in the show notes if you're wondering, who is Girl Camper?
Yeah.
It's a super organization for women campers to sort of make their adventure better, and they go on some great trips and things like, I almost wish I were a girl camper just based on the adventures that they have.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was really a pleasure to be able to share our tips for making their camping experience better. If you don't know, we do teach workshops, and under Girl Camper, they're called Camper College, and under Stressless Camping, they're called RV Basic Training, and they're 2-day versions of your 1-hour walkthrough at the dealership. You bring your own camper and you get a touch and feel it and actually see hands-on what we're going on about. And it's a pretty cool thing. So it's sort of show and tell on how to make your own camper work better.
Yeah. So one of the sessions that we teach during basic training or camper college is about boondocking. And you know what makes boondocking way easier
is our Mastervolt power system from ABC Upfitters.
Yep.
People were pretty impressed looking at that at the camper college. We were able to share just how well this system works. It lets us be off grid for longer. The system just works. That's my favorite part.
Right.
It's not something that's fiddly or that I have to really think about. I'm going camping. I know I'm going to have a full charge, and I have all these solar panels and lithium batteries to make it happen. And if that's something that might interest you, where you're like, yeah, I want stressless power, basically, talk to our friends at ABC Upfitters, because they have people who are actually engineers but know how to speak normal and can answer your questions. So anything from, hey, I just want to upgrade my batteries, to we saw this system they did. It was just, I mean, it was huge. Like, these people can run their air conditioner all night long. So, you know, just everybody has something different. So,
yeah, it depends on what you need, and they will work with you. If you only just want a little bit of stuff to make sure your CPAP works overnight, or you want enough stuff to make sure your air conditioner runs all night.
Yeah.
They got you.
Yeah, and it'll be a fully engineered system that's properly installed and works. One way to get hold of them is by the old telefono at 574-333-3225. That's 574-333-3225. 3225. Or, of course, we have links in our show notes to an interview we did with them, which will take you also to their website. So you can start your learning process there and go on. But good people with great products. I'm really pleased that we get to work with them. The opposite of what our friends at ABC Upfitters do is something our friend Joshua Sheehan from RV Gear and Far studied, and that's the content of black tanks.
Yeah. Joshua did a great experiment, and we will post a link to his video. He did a black tank simulation with a variety of black tank treatments that are popular and out there ready to buy. And he wanted to know for real which ones were the good ones and, you know, which ones performed better. As I said, he made a great video, but also he was willing to speak with us and let us know what the results were. So
when it comes to number two, Joshua's study was number one. And without any further ado, here he is. Well, we have the privilege of speaking with our friend Joshua Sheehan from RV Gear and Far. And Joshua has worked hard to talk me into all kinds of stuff. But he also has a great YouTube channel where he talked about black tank treatments. So, Joshua, welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me, both Tony and Peggy. And for everyone listening, I can assure you it wasn't very hard to twist Tony's arm to try out some new products.
No, it never is.
No. Well, Joshua, you did a whole experiment with black tank treatment. So tell us about that. And of course, we'll share the video because it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I just got to the point of, you know, dumping in black tank treatments into my black tank after every time we dumped. And I was kind of questioning, like, well, why is this product better than another product, or why is this one the crowd favorite in every online forum and no one ever talks about the other ones? So I jumped on the YouTubes and decided to look for black tank treatment comparisons to try and figure out and do a little bit of research as to which one I wanted to use and why one might be better or different or a use case scenario better than another black tank treatment product. There really wasn't a ton out there. There's quite a few comparisons between product A and product B, and it would last for maybe 10, 15 minutes, possibly overnight. And the big problem I had with those comparisons is that's not mimicking what we're doing with our black tank. We don't just put a deposit in the black tank and then let it sit for 7 days, then dump it, and then repeat that process. We're always adding in, you know, liquids and solids throughout the day, throughout the week, and then depending how many people you have using that system, that could be quite a substantial increase. And it's kind of the old adage of, you know, if you make a cake and you put it in the oven and then you pull the cake out and you add more batter, like, you're never going to get a fully baked cake. And so that's kind of what we're doing with our black tanks too, right? Is that we're always adding material, but we're never letting it sit long enough to fully bake. And so I was curious to know, are there products out there that work better, work faster? And the biggest caveat with this is it's a backyard experiment, right? This is my experience with the resources I had available, time of year, temperature, the type of water you used, what you ate. You know, if you have a family of carnivores versus a family of vegetarians, mm-hmm. the deposits into a black tank system are going to break down differently. And so maybe the vegetarians use product B and it works really well for them, but that product might not touch what's happening with the carnivore family. And those are, you know, the extremes one way or the other. But I think that also plays into, like, we're never going to have a solid answer of, like, this is the product for all universal applications, because what you eat, where you are, what the temperature is, how long you use it, how long the product sits. And so I was just wanting to find this out for myself. And I built the YouTube channel basically just to share my experiments, share my opinions and perspectives. And I thought, well, if I'm going to do this, I might as well turn the camera on and record it. And it was super interesting. We tested 8 different products, and then we had a control, just did water, and used a simulation. The closest thing that I could come up with to simulate a human diet, a publicly available and showable format for YouTube, was dog food. I know it's not quite human deposits, especially being that it's compressed, right? And that was one of the comments in the kickback I got on that video, is that hey, you know, dog food is heat pressed into these kibble bites, these pellets. Well, human deposits are not like that. And so while I agreed with that critique, it also means that every product in the line would have done better, right? Because it didn't have to break down as much. So the ones that didn't perform super fast would have performed better. But it also means the top performers would have performed even better. So I get it. I hear it. And at the same time, I think it just accentuates the results.
Right.
It was really surprising to me. The fan favorite that since before we had had an RV, everyone touted the benefits of using, didn't perform well as far as breaking down waste. It was super surprising to me. And I think that it also highlighted the fact that there's two camps of people. And it seems to be there's the folks that want to break down and digest their waste, and others that want to kind of slick everything to the point where they release the floodgates and everything kind of slides out. And I think this is going to be one of those debates in the RV community, very similar to driving with a propane fridge on. We're never going to get to an answer whether you should break down waste in your black tank or whether you should treat it as a holding tank and try and just get everything slippery and slidey and slip it on out.
Right.
Now, your experiment wasn't just an overnight. You did this for several days, and I really like the way you conducted the experiment. So share a little about how you actually did this, because I thought it was fascinating. So in other words, give us the straight poop.
So ideally, we would have had, actual black tanks. But I think buying 9 black tanks to do this simulation was obviously very cost prohibitive. So we ended up using the black and yellow totes that most RVs have to carry all the stuff in your pastures. And I got a bunch of those from the store. We ended up putting about 2 gallons of water to start with a dose of whatever product it was that would treat a 40-gallon tank. I figured 40 gallons was roughly the midline between your smallest travel trailers that have black tanks and your larger Class A's and fifth wheels as well. And it's also what most products dictated their dosing requirements in, was it to treat a 40-gallon tank.
Okay.
And then we just went in twice a day with 3/4 cup of dog food and 10 squares of toilet paper, along with 1/2 gallon of water, and dumped that in. So morning and evening, and then put the lid on and just let them sit. We did that for 6 days. Again, simulating adding to the black tank over time as you're out camping or exploring, with the ultimate goal of seeing a product can work on something short term, but what happens is we continue adding batter to that cake, as so it were.
So you're saying your experiment was not half baked?
It wasn't half baked, or it was half baked, because I did.
Oh, maybe it was. Yeah,
we never fully let it cook.
So then, by adding product every day, it's very close simulation to we add product to our black tanks every day. Not dog food, but as you said, it's the closest you could come to something that you could actually get and actually show on YouTube.
Right. And then so going in through just opening the lid and looking at what is being shown to me, the dog food floats in the water. Some of the toilet paper floated for a bit and then would sink towards the bottom. But on the second day, by the time I think I put in the fourth dose, there was, if you're going for digestion and breaking down the solids, the liquefied and the unique digestate plus just blew everyone else away. The rest of my containers had floating dog food in them. They were saturated and kind of puffed up with water, but those two, there was very little floating on the top. It all dissolved and broken down and was sitting on the bottom. It was really interesting. I did not expect a result that fast. And I also didn't expect a result that fast from more than one. And I also think it's important to note is that the Unique especially has several different lines of their product. I've seen Unique in big box stores and it's around the $10 a bottle mark, but that's just the regular Unique digestate. The one I tested was the Unique digestate plus, which is almost double the cost. And so that's also something I want to point out is that I was trying to get closer to apples to apples on price comparison.
Right.
I don't know the difference between the digestate and the digestate plus, other than the digestate plus worked and I haven't tested the regular digestate. That would be kind of cool to do another round of this and add in some other things that people have thought to try and test.
Mm-hmm.
That was also another comment I got back on that video is that, the liquefied is twice as expensive as the unique. what is if you're comparing it to the regular unique digested versus the digested plus, which the branding all there, like, I think they should just come up with a different name instead of adding in the plus, because now it's getting people confused, because nobody says that whole name. They just say the unique. And
right.
when there's more than one product out there, I think it can get confusing sometimes.
Yeah, especially if you're looking for something, what you want is like unique digested plus, and you're at a big box store and you see unique, you're like, oh, I got it. And then, right. no, you may not.
Right, right.
You also had a control sample with just basically water.
Correct. And it was surprising to me the amount of breakdown with just water that happened. It wasn't nearly as much as the top performers. However, it did break down. And as if we're going to talk about, you know, the difference between dog food and human waste, if the dog food broke down a little bit, the human waste might break down more. And I think overall, while I will continue to use Black Tank treatments, it does show the importance that just copious amounts of water are your friend whenever we're dealing with plumbing, and especially holding tanks. The more water you can have, the better your experience is going to be, whether that be emptying the tanks or diluting the tanks, you know, waiting until you're at least 75% full on your tanks or filling up to that point before you dump, really plays a lot into how much is going to come out of that tank, because you have all of that volume coming through the exit pipe versus if you leave your gray tank open or if you leave your black tank open. That is definitely not recommended because of the dreaded poop pyramid. The solids will stay in place and the liquids will drain out. You definitely don't want to do that. But I think making sure you've got that 75% or more volume in that tank before dumping really aids in getting your tanks as empty as possible.
Yeah. So were there any big surprises after you opened the tanks the final day, and you know, anything any of your processes that you might change?
I think that the hard part about this experiment is that it is very much, there are too many variables for every person, right? Like if you go dry camping in a state campground and you fill your black tanks, and then right before you leave, you go to the dump station. Well, that 20 seconds of driving and sloshing around in your black tank makes a huge difference in how things get broken down versus someone who's dumping before they leave a full hookup site. And so I think it'd be really cool to get actual black tanks, or maybe even several of the portable tote tanks, and put them in the back of the truck and do a few more distilled experiments of what happens if we drive with no product and versus driving with product, and how much that manual agitation also plays into it. The other thing is trying the difficulty of trying to see inside these tanks, simulated or real, visually, right? Like putting a camera in there, it's just going to get clogged up with brown dog food water. And then if you have a clear hose, you can only see what's around the edges. So it's really hard to see. In my experiment, I poured it through a homemade colander that kind of worked, kind of didn't work, to try and see if we could catch any large chunks. But I think trying to figure out a way to improve the process of visualizing what is actually happening. And then also maybe doing it for longer than a week, you know, maybe doing that same experiment and continuing it on for a month and dumping in between and say, you know, if I get something with a wastegate valve on it, that we can dump it from the bottom versus tipping it like we'd had to do with the totes, that might allow us to see, you know, the other criticism I've heard of black tank treatments is that they create almost like an oatmeal or a peanut butter sludge on the bottom, because it does break everything down. And then that stuff just sits at the bottom of your tank. And again, right. This is where the volume and having those tanks full comes into play, is pushing everything out, not just the stuff that floats.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be really cool to see how that would work over more than one dump, and what kind of residual things we have left over, toilet paper and food, after multiple dumps in a row. So I don't know. It's I got to talk the wife into allowing me to have like a backyard full of black tanks and just treatments going on all summer. We'll see what happens.
Well, I think that the secret would be you contact some RV manufacturer and you just go to where the finished production units are and you have them all lined up there, and you just do it that way.
Got to eat a lot more, Tony.
But that does bring into play the problem with being able to see what's inside a tank after you dump it or while you're working it.
Yeah, that's true. I thought the way you did your test really was valid. I thought I had no, you know, after seeing it, there was no like, well, if only, I thought it was really good.
Thank you. And another thing that I've thought about since, and maybe something that I will do as well, is to compare the liquid versions versus the powdered or the capsule versions. You know, if you're only going out every couple weeks for a weekend or two, a dose of RV tank treatment might last you a year or two. And so if you're going across the winter and the winterizing season, having a pod versus having a liquid means you can leave it in the RV and not worry about it freezing. And I don't think that there would be a ton of difference in the performance, but I don't know. Maybe there would be.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So did you ultimately change the brand of tank treatment you use after doing the experiment?
I did. We had been using Happy Campers for the longest time because that's what everybody used. That's what everybody touted.
Mm-hmm.
And while we didn't necessarily have any issues with it, like we never had any black tank issues using Happy Campers, after doing this, when my goal of using Happy Campers, and it even says on the side of the container, breaks down waste, was to break down the waste, when I saw its performance and it didn't break down waste, it almost preserved it more than some of the other ones, we ended up, we've been using Unique and Liquified, because those were the top two performers in the breaking it down camp of the tank treatments.
Okay.
Interesting.
Now I'm curious to know, what are you guys using and what have you had good experience with?
We've used whatever we get our hands on kind of throughout the years.
As you know, as content creators, we tend to get stuff sent to us. And honestly, there has been no clear winner, or nothing really stands out.
But there's also not been a real clear loser. We haven't ever had anything that we thought did not perform, but we have had several different brands, and we've tried the drop-in pillow things because they're convenient, but I feel that they're a little more wasteful, and I like the liquid, but I actually hadn't thought of the what if you leave it in your winterized camper and it freezes.
Yeah, that's a real legitimate point.
To bounce back against that, though, is that we, when we first got our camper, we had the previous owner left a box of the TST pillow pods, and they ended up sticking to each other and opening up inside the box. So while I think it's valid that they don't freeze, the dissolvable coating that makes that pillow, I'm not sure it would last long enough to go for that entire cycle.
Yes, you're right. We did have broken pillows also.
Yeah, we had that product because we spoke with them a while back, and they sent us some to try, and we're like, well, I mean, nothing has really stood out. So the bottom line, what it seemed to be, is the two winners in your competition, one of those was Liquified, which is from Matt Foxcroft, and we're talking to Matt later today, so he'll be also part of this conversation.
Nice. Yeah, and one thing I really liked about Liquified in the bottle that Matt chose is that it is self-dosing, right? The one drawback to the Unique is that I either had to free pour, which means I'm probably over pouring and wasting product and therefore money, or I have to get a measuring cup, and then that means that I've got a measuring cup that's got Unique on it that I need to then go wash. And it's just an extra step, whereas the self-dosing bottle that Matt uses really makes it easy to dose and know exactly how much I'm putting in each tank.
Right.
That's a unique component of that. And then what toilet paper did you use for your experiment?
So we've been using Scott's Comfort One Ply. So it's septic safe. It is not an RV specific. I think that is one of the bigger misnomers in the RV community, is that you don't necessarily need RV safe toilet paper. It's crazy expensive. I don't know if you guys use it or not, but I've found that it's not been an issue. But this Scott's Comfort might even be Comfort Plus. There we go with the adding the plus on the things.
Another plus.
It's super comfortable, and it doesn't seem like a one ply until you drop it in water, and then it dissolves really well.
If you don't know, Peggy is actually a groundwater geologist by training and did a whole article about RV safe toilet paper.
Well, I just did my own little toilet paper in a jar of water experiment just to prove that we could keep using our Charmin or our knockoff Charmin toilet paper.
Yeah, and that's interesting to know too. I didn't notice any expiration dates on any of these bottles, but the enzyme and the bacteria and all the ones that are not just chemical sanitizing things, is there an expiration date on when the product is still effective? That would be something very curious. I'd be curious to know. Maybe you could ask them that and say, you know, is there shelf life to this product?
And then does that depend on whether or not you've opened the bottle or whatever container? Black tanks in particular, there is so much information, misinformation, lore.
Yeah.
It would be great if somebody actually, like a chemist, studied it.
Yes, very much so.
But would you want to, if you went through chemistry school, would that be what you would want to study?
Not a whole lot of money in black tank chemistry.
What did you want to be since you were 11 years old?
Yeah, I want to be a chemist.
A black tank chemist.
We got a job for you.
So I think one thing that all RVers can agree on, if they've talked or if they've thought about it for any amount of time, is that the more water you have, the better experience you're going to have. Our black tanks are super concentrated.
Yeah.
You don't want to add all that extra weight when you're going down the road or if you're boondocking. Like when you're boondocking, you try and use as little water as possible. Well, that's the worst thing you can do for your tanks.
Yeah.
We've got these underslung tanks that are thin profile, you know, maybe at most 10 inches tall, which is another thing of like we're taking and have a lot of surface area in these tanks versus something that might be tall. And a lot of people don't realize that your holding tanks are not deep at all. They're just really wide, which also tends to lead itself to toilet paper sticking to the wall because there's not a lot of volume up. It's just a shallow tray of water.
Right.
Yeah, basically that's true.
Another thing we could pay this black tank chemist to do research for us on would be, you know, how some of the Airstreams have a macerator toilet that pump it over to their holding tanks. And I'd be curious to know, how do tank products work in conjunction with that type of system? Are they more helpful, less helpful, a waste of money?
Right.
Because like, if we're trying to digest everything, well, sending it through a macerator, that's definitely going to digest it. Like it's about as broken up as you can get.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a slurry, as it were, of the of the dog food or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating topic, and that's why someone I know who runs a travel website said, if you ever want to get traffic on your website, just talk about the black tank.
It's fascinating, and we all are super curious about it. However, no one's curious enough to invest the money to do the research on it. And so until that happens, we are going to be searching YouTube videos for backyard black tank treatment videos like mine.
Right.
Well, but I think you did a super job, which is why I'm glad you're able to come and join us here.
Yeah, absolutely.
It seemed like a legit experiment.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts on your video or black tanks or anything before we let you out and about?
If your listeners would have any input or thoughts on how the experiment could be improved, definitely leave a comment on that YouTube video. Like I said, I've got several notes going of ways we can improve it or redo it or do it in a different way with different products. I could be doing black tank treatments all summer and doing testing on them. And so I think, you know, if there's a call for that, that's something I don't mind doing. But again, it's taking the time, energy, and resources to invest into that. Is it of interest to the RV community? So jump on over that video, leave a comment, and let me know, and we'll see what can happen next.
That sounds good. Great.
So Joshua, we like to hit our guests with special questions at the end. And the first question is, can you tell us your best camping memory?
I'm going to go with my most vivid camping memory. We had just gotten the travel trailer that we currently have. We were going out on our first weekend trip with this rig, and there happened to be tornado warnings. The boys went to bed, the rain started falling, and 8 got up and started thunderstorming and lightning, and the wind was blowing, and to the point where we were looking out the window and it was bright as day, but not because it was daytime. It was lightning just absolutely everywhere. And so it was very much a trial by fire of what you need to do to stay safe in an RV. And you know, when you decide to go to storm shelters, we've been in the same space at the campground in Montrose. And that location is the only other time in my adult life where I've literally been afraid of a storm. And so being it the first weekend that we were in this rig, it is very vivid in my mind of how much we are able and have the entire country accessible to us to go RVing, and we can see these really cool things. But just a reminder that we are not the ones in control. We can bring all the gear, all the resources, have hookups, fresh water, but ultimately Mother Nature's in charge. It's humbling and reassuring and also scary as heck.
Boy, that's really good.
Yeah. So that fear sounds like it might also be the answer to our follow-up question, but maybe there's another one. Can you share your worst camping memory?
My worst one ended up being a non-issue, but we blew out a rear tire on the truck while towing the trailer on the highway.
Yikes.
Oh, yeah.
Thankfully, we had all the gear to be able to be a non-issue, but it destroyed part of the bed. It was just this big mace of a tire. The tread separated from the tire and just whipped around. Thankfully, we weren't hurt. No one was hurt, and there was no damage to anyone else's personal property. But that was definitely something that is not fun. And as RVers, it's not an if, it's a when a blowout's going to happen. I'm pretty diligent about tire maintenance and having TPMS systems and all that stuff and checking temperatures at rest stops. And yet it still happened. So that was definitely probably not my most fun memory. Although it turned out to be not a big deal, it could have been a lot worse.
Thank goodness most of the people that we ask that it turns out that that's, you know, the worst. You still survived it. You learned something from it. It's a fun memory maybe sometimes to have, but
It's a learning experience. And that's the entirety of RVing is you never stop learning when you're moving your house down the road at 65 miles an hour.
Right.
No, that's for sure. Well, Joshua, thank you again for your time and for sharing your experiment with us. And we hopefully will cross paths again soon on the road. And till then, be well, my friend.
Thank you. Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Take care.
How interesting was that?
Right. I bet you're flushed with
excitement.
Oh, the puns are just, they write themselves.
They do. We said we're in Texas, but we, you know, had to spend a few days getting to Texas and getting across Texas because it's a multi-day state.
Yeah, this is a big state, y'all.
And on the way to Texas from our home, we just needed places to stay for one night at a time. And I didn't see any Harvest Host locations. So my second plan is to go to Passport America. Passport America offers like half price rates on their rates for a night. They're all different. They all get to do this the way they want. Some offer half price every night that you're there. Some offer half price for one night. Well, in our case, that's the same thing. As long as they had a discount for one night, it helped us. So we stayed at a couple Passport America parks along the way. We paid $20 and $15 for our two nights on our way to Texas. They were super nice people. Everybody was really nice to us.
Yeah, one of these parks that we stayed at, this lady was like the tourism ambassador for the area.
Yes.
And I think we paid $20 for that night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are half price nights. The rates vary based on how much they normally charge. And to be very honest, there are a lot of these discount programs and all of this where you sign up and you can't use them. They're just honestly a bunch of baloney. We have found Passport America just works. It just is a program we have had great success with. And I mean, in some cases, you pay your Passport America annual membership, and the next time you stay,
you save that much money.
You save that much money. So it's a program we really like, and we use it regularly. And both of these parks, I mean, we paid $15 one night, $20 another night. And they were full hookup sites.
Yes.
So it was a super deal. So if people are saying, oh, there's no affordable camping anymore, they're not a member of Passport America.
Yeah, there might not be any affordable camping available in national parks, but get out there and see some other parts of the world.
Yeah, and I mean, let's be honest, you know, these are not the ones we stay at.
They weren't like real destination. Well, right. One was near Roswell, and that was that would have been a place to stay for a few days and explore the area.
Yeah, the park was certainly nice enough. It was not fancy. You know, there weren't like waterfalls and
it was no resort. Yeah. Right.
And that's kind of our style anyway. I don't know. I'm just not willing to pay for that fancy stuff, but that's us.
Right.
Maybe there are Passport America parks that are those too. Who knows?
There probably are.
Yeah, probably. Anyway, we really like Passport America. We'll put a link in our show notes to an interview we did with the founder of Passport America. And we stayed at his park. And that was fun. He has an alligator.
That's right. And we'll also put a link to our deals and discounts page where you can get a discount on Passport America.
Yeah, a discount on getting a discount.
A discount on getting a discount.
Super deluxe.
How can you beat that?
Man, I'm hungry for a deal, but I'm also hungry for lunch.
Well, you might be in luck because I shared this week the recipe that Ingle shared with us for zucchini lasagna. It is one of Ingle's best. Well, I don't know if it's his best. It's one of the best he shared with us. And it is made in his RV oven, which is in his vintage Airstream. So it's not a giant oven.
Well, I don't know if it's his best either because he shared a couple other things and they were pretty. Ingle can cook.
He
I want to camp
cook.
With Ingle more often.
Yeah. In fact, he offered to make us a lasagna if we will make him a peanut butter pie the next time he's in the area.
Fair deal.
He's probably going to come and stay with us on his way home.
Oh, super. It'd be good to see him and his Airstream again.
Yeah. So Ingle's recipe is posted in our recipes page. Essentially, it's a lasagna recipe, but instead of using noodles, you use slices of zucchini. And we have done this before, but it's nice to have a handy recipe that's pretty easy to follow. Ingle makes his extra special because his family grows the zucchini and the tomatoes that he uses.
Oh, I see how it works.
I can never probably make it as well as he makes it because I don't have those fresh family-grown vegetables. But it still is a great recipe. He brought it for a potluck when we were in Quartzsite, and it just is. And who doesn't like lasagna, especially on a cold night? It's so comfort food and warm and cheesy and delicious.
Yeah, who doesn't love all of those things?
So check out that recipe and fire up your RV oven.
After you've digested Ingle's delicious lasagna, you know, you're going to have to pay the rent on that food.
And we already know that Joshua found that the liquefied product was really among the best too. And the other one was, and I'm sorry, I can't remember what it's called, but you just listened to it, so you probably remember. And you had to have a measuring cup to go with that one. And the liquefied product, the bottle is designed so that it measures its own dose.
And so we reached out because I'm friends with Matt Foxcroft, who came up with liquefied. And so our gadget of the week is the liquefied tank treatment. And without any further ado, here is my buddy Matt Foxcroft. Well, we have the privilege of having the world famous Matt Foxcroft with us, who is known for his outstanding RV reviews. Part of those RV reviews is his prime poop and position rating of the bathrooms. And somehow that came out to the highly rated RV tank treatment. So, Matt, welcome.
Thank you, Big Tones, for having me on the show.
It's always a pleasure, man. I love hanging out with you. So how did the prime pooping position go from that to liquefied RV toilet tank treatment?
I think we need to take a step further back. So for those of you who don't know, my name is Matt. I have a YouTube show called Matt's RV Reviews, where I just review RVs. My big claim to fame somehow was I would sit on the toilet and check to see if it was a prime pooping position. And that's what when I'm out on the streets and people see me, when I'm at an RV show, people go, that's a prime pooping position. Bing! Matt's RV Reviews, that's our business. We get paid from Central RV, who's our partner. We get paid from YouTube and from sponsorships, right? And so I read the book Rich Dad Poor Dad, and I found out that Matt's RV Reviews is a very vulnerable business, as in, like, we have employees. My wife's an employee. I'm an employee. And my two best friends, Will and Jen, are employees as well. And if something happens to me, we all lose our jobs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I decide I don't want to film, or if I can't film or whatever, unfortunately, Will can't be Matt from Matt's RV Reviews, right? So I'm talking with Will, and I'm all like, man, we need to figure out a real business. Oh, by the way, the book Rich Dad Poor Dad taught me that Matt's RV Reviews is more of like a sole proprietorship, mm-hmm. where I needed a business to run itself, even if I'm not there.
Right.
And so the first idea was surge protectors. That was going to be very expensive, cost of entry. Okay. But shout out to a very good friend in the industry. They told me they'd give me $1 million to start it.
Wow.
And that's how much it was. Like, that's one, that's when I kind of got scared. I'm like, man, that's a lot. And then two, I really had like a moment to myself. Who am I to talk about surge protectors, right? Who am I to put my face on a surge protector and tell people it's better? And like, I have no credibility. And what I mean that is, we all know JD from Big Truck Big RV,
mm-hmm.
who's an engineer. We all know Chad and Tara, or even Mark Leitz from KYD. If any three of those people put their name and promoted a surge protector, we're all like, yes. You
right.
know what I'm saying? Yes. They have that validity or authority or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And I unfortunately just didn't have that. And I'm like, well, what is my brand validity? What is it that I could do better than Mark Leitz or JD? And I'm like, I guess the only thing I'm better at sitting on toilets. And so then I'm all like, how funny would it be if we made toilets? I'm like, we can't make toilets. And then toilet chemicals popped up. And I'm like, yes, this is something that I can do.
Yeah.
One. Two, cost of entry was $50,000, which I had saved up in my life savings. So I didn't need an investor.
Right.
Right?
That's a good thing.
Not from like a greedy way, but I didn't have $1 million, and I don't have $1 million. And like, that's so scary to have that pressure of knowing that you owe that type of money to somebody.
Yeah.
Where like the 50 grand, it's just like, hey, if it doesn't work, it's my money and I didn't risk anybody else's money.
Yep.
And then three, it was very easy for me to find the people that make the toilet treatments. Long story short, even though I'm kind of rambling on, I tested out the 15 best toilet treatments. Found out the creator of the best one was this company called Century Chemical. Reached out to Pat, and he agreed that he would private label for me and make some tweaks. So our scent liquefied is orange, and we have an awesome bottle to it.
Mm-hmm.
But formula is Century Chemical. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, they've been doing it for 97 years. And I tell people that I didn't formulate this toilet treatment in my bathtub. We're really good at marketing, and they're good at making toilet treatments, and that's how Liquify came to be.
That's a good partnership.
As I said, Joshua did a test, and it's not the first time I saw the RV technical school. They did a test, and Liquify just keeps coming out on top.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is so awesome that it really is a good product. And it's not like a good product because I say so. Here's the deal. I'm going to be a human with everybody. Even if my product wasn't the best, I would say it's the best. It's what you do. It's like your kid in school, right?
Yeah.
Like little Johnny, oh, he's the best baseball player. We all know Malcolm is a better baseball player down the street. But you always say little Johnny's the best. Well, here, I've yet to find a better treatment when it comes to these tests and experiments. And so it really is awesome, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That not only is it a good product, but it's really, really the best.
And more than one person has verified that. So I think it's true.
And it's awesome because not only that, like all the YouTubers or all the content creators, like Tony, this is a community that you and me are in, right?
Right.
And we're friends with all these people, and none of them are shouting it out for money, or none of them are shouting it out because I'm their friend. They're all doing their own independent testing. And
right.
I'll tell you, there is some influencers that it hasn't worked for. But, I mean, we're talking Chad and Tara, Endless RVing, Josh from Gears and Far, the NRVTA, they're all testing it. I'm not paying these people anything. And they're promoting the product, which is a huge blessing. And now, with that said, you know, now we do sponsor Endless RVing, but they wanted to make sure they liked the product first, you know?
That says a lot. So about the product, I assume it's all septic safe and all. It's basically enzymes, right?
Correct. 100% septic safe, California safe. It's an enzyme and bacteria base. There's no chemicals in it. It's very, very good for the environment.
And it's also really convenient in how if you do use the liquid liquefied, the way you've designed the fill mechanism is really easy to use.
Yeah.
And no extra measuring cup to figure out where you're going to store it and how you're going to keep it from dripping. It's all one container.
Definitely. Well, that's the big thing as well. It's when Century Chemical and I partnered, they're like, hey, do you want the liquid? And I'm like, no, not at all. Like, because he's all like, the liquid's better than the droppings. And I'm like, yeah, but the liquid's a pain in the butt. You need, like, how much is 2 ounces? And I'm like, I wish they could, like, put a pre-measuring cup on the bottle and just have it so you can pre-measure it. And he's like, oh, you can. It's called a Bixler bottle.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, can you fulfill liquefied in a Bixler bottle? And sure enough, he was able to. And yeah, it was absolutely awesome.
That's so cool. Well, it's a good product and it's well designed. I like to see when my friends do well and do good. And that's you, my friend.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I really do appreciate it. And it's a lot of hard work. We're failing a lot at what we're doing. But we're fortunate enough to have Matt's RV reviews. And so the mistakes aren't like detrimental. You know what I'm saying? We're just learning. We're not business owners.
Yeah. And you have the chance to learn as you grow.
Yep. Exactly.
Sounds good. Well, we are also happy to share about Liquefied with our audience and wish you continued success. And it's always good talking to you. It's always a fun time.
Thank you. No, I appreciate you guys. I love reading your articles and seeing what's going on. This is my first time hearing about your podcast, so now I got to check it out.
Uh-huh.
I guess I got to go to the Apple Store and Spotify and download the podcast.
Excellent.
Yeah, we're on Spotify. All the places you can find podcasts, you can find us.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for having me. I do want to let everybody know, if they do want to try Liquefied, and if they're not 100% happy with it, they can always send me an email, matt@liquefiedrv.com. I'll give them 100% money back guarantee.
Great.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, there you go. You 100% money back guarantee if you're not happy.
You can't beat that.
Now that's a prime pooping position.
We're going now. Bing.
Thank you, my friend. Good talking to you.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
All right.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Do you know what? We forgot to ask Matt, and Joshua had mentioned this. Liquefied does not have an expiration date. That was a question that came up with Joshua and we didn't think of it, but we did later. And so that is the answer to that. There is no expiration on Liquefied.
Not really. Matt said that Amazon requires that there be an expiration date, but really it's kind of like, don't worry about it.
Oh, okay.
You know, every week we ask a question of the week on our Fun and Friendly Stressless Campers Facebook group. This week's question was, if you're just spending the night and you can, do you just leave your trailer hooked to your tow vehicle? Do you put down your stabilizers? What you doing out there?
So we got a good variety of answers. Some people unhook all the way. Some people don't do anything. Now, what we do, if we're in a if we're staying for just one night and we pull up and we're level and we don't have to unhook, we might put the stabilizers down. We might not. Who knows? But we do always unplug the 7-pin because we don't want accidentally to be drawing power from the truck and then have a dead battery on the truck in the morning with a full master volt battery in the camper that can't be used. Some people, of course, they don't have stabilizers. They have actual levelers. And so they probably need to put those levelers down in order to use it. And we didn't really talk about it that much, but we put our slide out. We could get to the everything with the slide in. But normally we try to stop in a place where we can put the slide out. It's just a little more comfortable for us. But that actually led me to this week's question of the week.
When you're shopping for an RV, do you take into account whether or not you can access everything or some things with the slide room in if there was a slide room on the RV? Now, we admittedly are a little bit looking at other RVs. And right now, the top of my list has no slide room.
Josh, the RV nerd, Josh Winters, calls it road mode.
Yeah, Josh's videos are outstanding.
Yeah, and we actually did choose this particular floor plan because it has easy access to the refrigerator and bathroom, and it has pretty good access to the bed. As I said, we could get in bed. Tony would just have to crawl in from the foot on my side and roll over. That's doable if we had to.
Yeah.
But is that something that you pay attention to? If you are shopping or if you, you know, recently shopped for a rig, did you think about how you would use it for just a potty stop or a lunch break on the road? Or do you just only drive 50 miles and you never have to stop on the way anyway?
You can answer that question at our fun and friendly Stressless Campers Facebook group. That is a good place, if you have questions, to ask them, because you're not going to get shamed or grumped at there. So it's a good friendly place to ask your questions or just participate in a fun community.
Indeed.
And that's over on Facebook. But did you know we did a once a week newsletter and it's completely free? And we have a new feature in that. Once a month, we're going to start giving away some prizes to our readers. Starting with next week's Gadget of the Week, we're going to be giving that away.
Okay.
So all you have to do is visit our website, stressescamping.com. And if it's your first time, welcome. A pop-up will pop up and it'll invite you to join our family. But no worries if you've been there a bunch of times. In fact, we appreciate that.
We do.
Under the hamburger menu, there is a newsletter sign-up form. So come join us, not just for prizes, but we have information about deals, discounts, podcasts, videos, and anything else we think might be of value to you.
And don't worry, that is only going to come out once a week.
Yeah, we're too lazy to do more than that.
We put all those links and videos and giveaways and all that stuff in each weekly newsletter on Thursday. And yeah, we're not going to keep writing to you a bunch of times. We don't have time for that.
No, we ain't got time.
And you don't have time for that either.
That's right. You will find the show notes for this episode,
number 248,
on the podcast page at stresslesscamping.com. And what else could I find there, Peggy?
You could find our deals and discounts page for the best deals on things you'll need to make your stressless camping adventure.
Of course, if you've got a great deal for our audience, let us know. We're always looking for something awesome, but it has to be something we really, really like. So,
yeah.
And by the way, we are in all the social places, including Facebook and Instagram, but also X and Threads and TikTok and just all of that.
All so those places.
If you're out there wasting time on social media, well, know that we're wasting it right along with you.
We welcome all of you who are new to podcast listening. About a year ago, maybe, a couple people told us that they went back to episode one and listened from the beginning.
That is a lot of Tony and
Peggy. There's another 50 episodes now, so I don't blame you if you don't decide to do that. But if you do, awesome. Thanks. But if you want to make sure that you don't miss any future episodes, please be sure to subscribe on any podcast catcher. We are saving you a seat around our virtual campfire.
Absolutely. And of course, you can help us by posting a review of the Stressless Camping podcast. It does help Apple know that people are listening. And also, you could share anything that you might think is relevant. We try to have a lot of answers at Stressless Camping. So if you're trolling the internet and someone asks a question and you're like, well, I know where there's the actual verified answer, you can share that post on Stressless Camping with those people. And it kind of, you know, helps them get real answers to things. So,
and we sure do appreciate that too.
Oh boy, do we ever.
Yeah, we do.
Well, that's what we have for you this week. In other words, that's the straight poop.
Oh boy.
Oh my gosh.
We better go before this episode just goes right down the toilet.
Peggy, you'll have to hear these puns anyway. Well, thank you so much for being with us. And most of all,
Stressless Camping.
We hope you learned a lot and had some fun and got some tips for your next stress-less camping adventure. We're honored by your reviews on Apple Podcasts, which helps others find us too. Don't forget to subscribe so you won't miss out on the adventure, and we look forward to your joining us next week. Until then, happy camping!
Luzuzi Gazaga.
Well, at least we have our glitch.